We begin our series at a church, the East Sunshine Church of Christ in Springfield, on a recent Monday evening, just as a city bus is pulling up. Out file about 24 men, most carrying backpacks or blankets or rolling a suitcase. A second bus will follow a few minutes later. It's 7:30, and the temperature is quickly dropping to its projected low of 22 degrees. And just like that, this church is transforming into an emergency cold weather shelter for the homeless. Springfield has two, this one for men and another for women at a different church, but they only open on nights when the temperature will dip below freezing. So if the low is expected to be 33 degrees, they're on their own, mostly on the streets. Last year, this shelter accommodated 100 men on sub-freezing nights. And generally speaking, it was first come, first served. But the pandemic has changed all that. To prevent an outbreak, the shelter reduced its capacity by half. And those men have all been pre-approved on a list.
We are not feeding this year so that they do not gather together.
Karen Mizell is the pastor here.
We do provide coffee that they can take back to their cots or go outside when they're smoking. No food is otherwise allowed because we don't want them collecting and gathering.
They've all had their temperatures taken, and they check in with volunteers who are sitting behind a plastic screen to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. The hot coffee flows, and the men are quiet as they head for their cots in the church's fellowship hall. On this night, the shelter doesn't even reach the reduced capacity. Only 37 men showed up for the bus ride, but there are 50 men on the list, and many more on the waiting list, according to Community Partnership of the Ozarks, which manages that list. Pastor Karen Mizell says it's typical for the shelter not to reach capacity early in the winter, but she expects it will be full soon. One man who says he's on the list, but who isn't at the shelter on this particular night, is Eric Gibson. I interviewed him a few days earlier on the street. Gibson is a tall, lithe man with shoulder-length brown and gray hair.
I don't think it's right to put a limit on the amount of people that can go and get warm. I mean, that's sad because there's a lot more than 50 of us as a family out here, you know?
He says on nights when the emergency shelter is open, he sometimes gives up his spot for someone else because the survivor's guilt of staying in a warm shelter when he knows his friends are out in the elements is even worse than the cold.
It's sad because it's like it has to be 32 degrees. It has to literally be freezing before we have a place to stay, you know, and it's sad.
Growing up in the tiny town of Butler, Missouri, Gibson says he had a bright future as a track and field standout. He was a natural pole vaulter, he says, but he also loved the low and high hurdles and sprinted like a deer. But that opportunity and the hope and joy that came with it all vanished when his father's abuse became so intense that Gibson was made a ward of the state. He says he was moved from place to place so frequently in the foster care system that it made it impossible for him to join a track team or thrive in school. Many years later, he finally found a tight-knit family here, his so-called street family, the people he's giving up his spot in the shelter for.
It'd be really nice if the men had a place to go, you know, rather than, you know, I mean, you got the Victory Mission, but they're always full, and, you know, I mean, there's stipulations.
Victory Mission, a faith-based nonprofit in Springfield, has a robust program for the homeless. But only about 50 beds a night are for men who aren't part of a longer-term program or a low-fee paying shelter. And men are required to have a valid ID and meet other criminal background requirements, two barriers for many people living on the streets. As Gibson said, Victory Mission's shelter and other shelters throughout Springfield are often running at full capacity with waiting lists. In Springfield, there is an alliance that's designated by the city of Springfield and the federal government to address homelessness in Greene, Christian, and Webster counties. It's called the Ozarks Alliance to End Homelessness, and it administers over $1 million in HUD funding to local agencies. Its executive board meetings and subcommittee meetings are all open to the public. The Community Partnership of the Ozarks, or CPO, facilitates that alliance. Adam Bodendeck with CPO says the pandemic has made the cold weather shelter situation worse.
If we were to have COVID-positive individuals get into the shelter and if it were to spread, that would be absolutely catastrophic. It would shut everything down.
In addition to that, he says, Springfield has seen its volunteer pool slashed dramatically this year.
Because a lot of the overnight shelter volunteers are typically, they're older, and they are a population that is more vulnerable to COVID-19.
When the pandemic first hit, CPO scrambled to get homeless people who were at high risk for COVID-19 complications into hotel housing, which is ongoing. But it's estimated that there are more than 100 people still on the Springfield streets as we head into winter, even when the cold weather shelters are open.
We need to find a solution that is both safe and humane. Picking one is not an option.
Katie Kring is a homeless advocate and founder of the Springfield Street Choir.
I think that we have traded one bad thing for another. Forcing social distance and being outdoors on people, which I'm all for it, except for the part where, you know, people die of exposure.
Another homeless resident, Stephen Negroni, was staying in Victory Mission's paid shelter rooms when we talked 2 weeks ago, but he didn't have money or vouchers to last beyond three more nights. He described a recent night spent under a Springfield bridge.
So it started shaking, it got real cold. My sleeping bag started freezing up to my face. You know, the material under his parachute, and it doesn't take much for it to, what they call, stick to your skin real fast.
He says the next morning when he went to shave, the skin on his face was prickly, raw, and hurting like something we can't quote on the radio. He says he received medical attention for that at a local hospital and that his diagnosis was frostbite of the face. For KSMU Sense of Community Series, I'm Jennifer Moore.